Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
Sidebar with Cindy
on Kaya FM 95.9.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. Welcome to Sidebar Cindy with me, Cindy Sue Fonsale. On this Tuesday, the 24th of September, Happy Heritage Day. I hope you guys had a restful day. And tonight, we're looking at the psychology of fitness.
Sidebar with Cindy on the home of the Afropolitan.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. If you've missed any of our previous shows, you can visit kayafm.co.za and click on FM Rewind to catch my podcasts under Sidebar Cindy. If you're not in Gauteng, you can listen live on kayafm.co.za, or you can tune in on DSTV's audio bouquet, channel 861. So this evening, we're speaking about psychological fitness. So we know you hear a lot about physical fitness. You see people jogging. There's TV adverts selling us the latest gadget to help you get into shape. But we don't always speak about the psychology behind being fit, you know, the psychology behind being an active sports person. And as you know, I am working towards the Kaya FM Legacy Walk, which is happening on Saturday, the 12th of October. Entries close on the 30th of September, so please make sure you go to legacywalk.co.za to get your tickets. So I've been training for about 3 weeks now with Danny Kamona. He's a fitness coach and a runner. And, you know, one of his claims to fame is that he runs from Soweto to Rosebank and back. And Danny and I, the first week was tough. I think my body was in shock. My brain was not there. But funny enough, guys, as I'm doing this every day, it's getting better. So it's getting easier. We did a bit of running the other day, so my calves are aching. But I'm motivated, and I have a Fitbit, and I've become a little bit obsessed with checking how many steps I've walked. So we're evolving. You know, who knows? In 2 years' time, I might be running marathons, but we'll see. But so tonight we're speaking about the psychology of fitness, and I'm happy to be joined by Fulufele Sopuma. She is a fitness trainer, and I'm also joined by sports psychologist Gareth Rossley. So Fulufele says that she prefers, you know, exercising at the gym. I prefer my own environment. Gym left me with a lot of nightmares. And we'll be talking about all of that. You know, do you enjoy exercising at gym? Do you enjoy exercising at home? Does it make a difference where you are? Does it affect how you perform? And we'll be getting into the, you know, into the psychology of sports. So thank you so much for being here. I'm Gareth and Fulu.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Okay, I think I'll start off with you, Gareth. You're a sports psychologist, right?
I'm a psychologist by training.
Yes.
There's no category in South Africa which would allow you to title yourself as a sports psychologist.
Okay.
There are other categories, and there aren't many countries, by the way, where that category does exist. So if people start referring to themselves locally as sports psychologists, then that's not entirely true.
Okay.
In my case, I developed a theory of sports intelligence, and I've been having lots of fun with that for the last 5 or 6 years. But some people, they do refer to me as that, and, you know, I don't make a big deal out of it. It doesn't really matter to me, as long as the athletes and individuals that I work with check my workout and hopefully apply it not only to their athletic endeavors, but into the other performance areas of their life. And it's exciting work. It's new. It's hasn't, just like emotional intelligence, in fact, which was really researched in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So sports intelligence being researched here, not many people know that. They thought the whole EQ thing
started somewhere else.
It was Daniel Goleman, the journalist, who actually popularized it. But it was researched in the Eastern Cape in the 80s.
Oh, okay, that's interesting to know.
I know that. I was there then, so.
Oh, great stuff. So, Gareth, so take a person like me who has been a couch potato almost all their lives. I think the first time I did a 5 kilometer walk was in 2011. And now I'll be doing my second one on Saturday.
Yeah.
So the transition from couch potato to, hopefully one day, marathon runner.
Fitness athlete.
Fitness athlete. Oh, my gosh, guys. I don't know, eh?
Competition time.
What's a journey in a person's mind? How do you help a person get there?
You know, it's a wonderful opportunity to work alongside somebody in their journey as they transitions from perhaps being overweight and unfit into different physical specimens and possessing much more general fitness and what I and my colleagues and people who do what we do, you can't say that I'm just going to do one thing. I'm just going to go out and run, for example.
Yeah, you can't.
It's far more than that, and it's a lot more complex than that. In fact, there's emotional components to it. There's a whole lot of rational and practical things which you need to do, and need to be managed accordingly. It's crucial that you have a team around you. It's one of those endeavors where you can't and you shouldn't really have to do it by yourself. I'm not saying don't exercise by yourself, but recruit people into your life, family members, friends, or so on, into what your goals and objectives are, and you will find that a combination of those items makes it more manageable and easier and not as daunting as what it might seem.
Yeah, no, because it does seem very daunting. I mean, I must say, the thing that motivated me this week was I got a pair of new tackies, and they're a gorgeous color. They're like bright orange. So that alone, just knowing that I'm going to put on these tackies, they were so expensive, you guys.
Yeah.
That alone is making me keep going. Mm. So now the next thing I want to do is get bright colored shirts and then bright colored pants. Yeah. So does that play a role?
No doubt. I tell all my athletes, failing all else, just look good and you'll feel better. And it's all part of the ceremony and the process of preparing yourself for your training session, or for your event, or for your game, or for your marathon. That's an important part and a significant part of it. So yeah, I hope you're hearing that. You don't just pitch up at the game, kick the ball around, and it's going to be fine. It's more. There's more to it than that, at least psychologically, and I know physically as well. I know that when you contribute, you're going to add a lot more to that.
And, you know, I mean, speaking from an overweight perspective, I mean, I've been overweight all my life. The one thing that I really didn't enjoy about going to the gym, when I did go to the gym, was just the comments from people. And I said this before when Fulu was on the show before, that why can't people just mind their own business at the gym? Because saying stuff like, oh, do this or do that, and I tried this, and if you do this, you might lose more weight, it's so discouraging.
And to take it one step further, the gym that I work out at, the men's change room is hilarious. You go down into the change room to change, and it's more of a posing competition than anything else. And I was telling people this in the week, and they didn't believe me. And I said, come with me, let's go downstairs and go and check out what's going on down there. I hope your listeners don't mind, or the guys who do pose, who are your listeners, I hope you don't mind having a dig at you, but sometimes it's and I've noticed that trend in the last decade or so, that both I don't know what goes on in girls' change rooms, in a female change room, but I've noticed that the whole move towards physical fitness,
because there has been a move, there has been
a wonderful, and it's fantastic. But there also is there's another side to it. There's perhaps even a darker side to it, as some people might refer to it, when it becomes an addiction, when it becomes a compulsivity, when it becomes a dependency. That I'm exercised to sex, to exercise, just as I might be addicted to any other substance. I've had to deal with that in my practice a lot lately, and it's in the last 2 to 3 years it's come up more and more.
Where a person is addicted to going to the gym,
so it kind of like takes
over your life.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, it's like, as I said, like any other addiction that I've researched and studied and dealt with, and you would think that it's a healthy addiction.
Well, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
People think about it all day, every day. That's all they talk about. It's what they're thinking about all the time, and it's a problem for some people. Not every not every person who just does a lot of exercise, yes, who enjoys regular exercise, that's healthy and that's positive. But as I said, it has reared its head.
And then how would you treat a person like that, Gareth?
As you would with any other addiction. It's a mix of therapy, of self-understanding, of appreciating that it's gone one step too far. It's no more a healthy pastime. It's become an all-encompassing psychological process in their lives, and with lots of love and support. And I found that to be helpful. I know of some exercise addicts who have obviously consulted with psychotherapists, but also those who've consulted with psychiatrists and have been prescribed different kinds of medicine because it's dealing with a deeply held psychological issue.
Mm.
And in some of the addicts' cases that I've dealt with, if it weren't exercise, it might be alcohol.
I see.
It might be gambling. Mm. It might be shopping. It's that kind of personality. And it's an under-researched and poorly understood concept, or phenomenon, should I say. Mm. We're only now starting to better understand some of the psychological characteristics of addicts.
That's very interesting.
And exercise addicts are no different.
That's very, very interesting. Well, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Sidebar with Cindy, with me, Cindy Seofansale. I'm chatting about psychological fitness. As you know, as I work towards the Kaya FM Legacy Walk, which is happening in October, and I'm talking to Fulufele Supuma, I'm also talking to sports psychologist Gareth Rossley, and we also have Kennedy Mzuli online. Kennedy exercises from home. So good evening, Kennedy, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. So I'm sure you've heard the discussion that I've been having with Gareth.
And that's correct, yeah.
Yes. So, Kennedy, so you prefer to exercise from home?
That's correct, yes.
So did you ever exercise at the gym?
You'll be surprised. I've never at all. I used to play football. I'm retired now. Yes. And I was never a gym person. It was always about road work, exercises, and get comfortable and look forward to the next session.
Oh, great. And your football career was for how many years?
About 23 years.
Wow. So you were a professional football player?
No, semi-professional.
Okay, great stuff. And the motivation for football, who inspired you?
Oh, plenty. The 12 brothers. I played the same position as them. I was a centre back.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike and Neil, 12 were inspirations. Later came on the likes of Lucas Adair and them. Yeah.
Great. I mean, I must tell you, I find football players very fascinating. I always watch them play, and I just imagine dissecting their thighs. They've got very well defined, and they've got very well defined legs and quads. So when I watch football, that's the only reason I'm watching football.
So I guess at least you're still watching the legs for a different reason.
Exactly. But I'm always amazed at the stamina, and just you guys are running on that pitch for how many 90 is it 90 minutes? Mm-hmm. I can't. Yeah, 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
So before a match, Kennedy, you're at the back, you're in the change room, and you're going to come onto the field. What's going on in your mind? What are you guys saying to yourselves? What have you done the day before to prepare for a big match?
It's in my time, at least, it's always been about you try and calm down as much as you can,
mm-hmm,
and no more physical stuff for about 24 hours before, just some minor exercising. And crucially, you go into some kind of a zone, your own world, at a time when you are dressing up for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time of the final team talk, you are as good as running around the field in your head already,
mm,
before you actually get to play. Yes, and I used to believe in sweating off a bit. I must have warmed up, sweat a bit before the game starts.
Okay. And is it true that, you know, when you guys are in camp, you're not allowed to engage in any sexual activity?
Yes, that's correct. Much as there's a whole lot of myth around it,
yes.
Some of the coaches will tell you it's about the focus. You mustn't end up being too relaxed to a point of forgetting the duty at work. But there's a whole lot of myth. Some guys will tell you that if there's one person who has engaged in any form of sexual activity, it will bring bad luck to the team. Others will say, whatever you try to do, you want to kick the ball forward, it will go back, and it's a whole lot of things. But I've believed in the school of thought that it will take the mind off the game. You will lose focus.
Okay, so you were able to explain this to your partner and say that, listen, baby, before games, we don't do any hanky-panky.
Look, if a person has come into your life at a time when you're already in that kind of a lifestyle, they get into it. Like it's like the travel. For example, the last team that I played for by Thursday,
mm-hmm.
others, the players would be required to report for camp already.
Okay.
So in that case, so a person who's going to come into your life at any stage will need to be familiar with the fact that after Thursday,
I don't see my person.
Yes.
Okay, all right. And another thing I wanted to ask you, Kennedy, I mean, it's fascinating, and I'm happy that we're speaking to a football player. The crowd, the fans, how much of an effect does that have on your psyche? When you get onto the pitch and they're calling out your name, or by antithesis, or by upset, they're booing, how does it affect you?
That's top notch. That's why people play the game, to be able to feed off the fans from that perspective. When they shout out your name, when they just to hear that cheer as you come out of onto the pitch, you become a different animal altogether. So you want to be the best. You can't let them down.
And if you do let them down, say you miss a goal or you miss a penalty.
That's a sad reality, but all you can do is hope that they understand it's part of the game. I still call some of the best, most of the football players will tell you best memories are in high school days.
Yeah.
Because I played since I was in primary school.
Okay.
When you literally have, say in my case, I was playing center back, you literally have half the school crowding around your goalpost.
Mm.
Every single tackle, every touch that you have on the ball, they just go crazy. And you can imagine how much of a hero when you go to class the next morning.
So you missed those days almost.
Yeah. Well, anyone who has played team sport will tell you miss it. Football, rugby, all the team sports. That's an element that you miss most.
And now that you've retired, Kennedy, so do you still exercise on a daily basis?
Three times a week.
Okay. And are you involved in any football, maybe training youngsters or football?
No. I played in the corporate league until about 3-4 years ago. And then since then, I stopped competing.
Oh, okay. Any reason for that?
I think age has caught up with me. And also the work. Because in the corporate league, the games were played midweek and at night.
Oh, I see. And this, you need family time as well.
Yeah, I work from 2 o'clock into the evening, so I didn't have much time for it anymore.
Okay. But thank you so much, Kennedy Mutsudi, for joining us. I think you gave us a lot of insights into the psychology behind being a professional or semi-professional football player. I've certainly learned a lot from you. But thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Okay, then. It's a pleasure.
Good, thanks. So that is Kennedy Mutsudi. He was a semi-professional football player. He's now in corporate and he exercises 3 times a week. I think we learned a few things from him.
Yeah, a couple of things that he mentioned are noteworthy. The point on distraction.
Mm.
Through whatever it means or whatever before the game is important, and it's to stay focused, as he said. But if you're going to chill with your friends, or you're going to take it easy in the the days leading up and the evenings leading up to performance day, then that's okay. It's also important to take your mind off things if you at a professional or elite or semi-professional.
But you obviously
level.
Can't be partying the night before.
No, not at all. I did a talk at Pretoria School last week, and for fun, I said to the kids, okay, here's a scenario. You've made the regional. It was the whole of netballers. Mm. You've made the regional finals. The game is at 10 o'clock. It's at your opposing school's venue. But it's one of the really popular girls' party the night before. What do you do? Do you go to the party or do you stay at home? And they all shouted out, we definitely go to the party. Girls, that's not the answer. But maybe go to the party until 9 or 9:30.
And
make sure you're properly rested, you're properly nourished, and you're ready for the next day.
Great stuff. So Sidebar with Cindy coming back after this.
Sidebar with Cindy on the home of the Afropolitan. Sidebar with Cindy on the home of the Afropolitan.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. Sidebar with Cindy with me, Cindy Siwefan Sale. And this evening we're speaking about the psychology of fitness, because it's Fitness Tuesday. And I'm working towards the Kaya FM Legacy Walk, which is happening on Saturday, 12 October. So I hope you've registered, because I will be there. I'll be walking with my fitness trainer, Danny Kamona. We've been working out. I've been also working out during the week. And yes, my calves are sore. It's a lot of work, but I'm getting there. My psychology around training and just being fit is changing. And someone is asking me if I'm exercising to lose weight, or I'm exercising to, you know, to be healthy. And for me, I mean, I've been chubby all my life, and to be honest, I'm exercising to be healthy. I always think of my mom. My mom passed away in 2013, and she was overweight, and she had diabetes and high blood pressure. And I've got two small kids. I'm 43. I've got a 10-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old son, and I don't want to leave my kids alone. I never thought I'd spend the rest of my life without my mommy at this age. So I don't want my kids to go through the same thing. So I'm exercising for health. The change of the body will be a bonus. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But that's the bonus for me. So I have in studio, I have psychologist Gareth Rosley, who has a special interest in sports intelligence. And I also have Fulufelo Sipumo. She's been with us before. And guys, you must follow her on Instagram. We'll take pictures later on. I'm going to tag her. Her fitness pics are so awesome. She jumps and she runs and she swims and she does everything. So, Fulufelo, thank you so much for coming back, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's always lovely being on your show.
So, you exercise 5 times a week and you have 2 rests.
Yeah.
So, what I'm curious to know is, on the days when you really don't feel like doing it, how do you motivate yourself to go?
I motivate myself. I think, first of all, it's always about health. Like you said, it's always about focusing on your health, making sure that you are meeting those health goals. But other than that, I motivate myself by playing music. So I'll have a very dope playlist, which will get me active at the gym. So I think once you get into that zone, then it helps you to really push forward. And I think also going to the gym and being with everybody, absorbing like a sponge, you also get to absorb other people's energies. So it helps a lot to be around that environment where everybody is sweating with you. You're all working towards different gym goals, but all in all, it's to be healthy at the end of the day. Yeah, so that helps a lot. Another thing, it's also making sure that I work out at the gym and not at home. That's if I only work out at home if I don't have a choice.
Oh, okay, so you prefer going to the gym to see people around you and so on.
Yeah, to see people around me, also other professionals as well, to see the other fitness professionals, because you always like exchange notes to say, okay, I work out shoulders best, so this is what I do. And then you also giving them core exercises to say my abs are pretty are looking very great, so this is what I also do for core exercises. So it's a great place to exchange notes and, you know, just motivate each other as well.
And in terms of your music, so what kind of music do you have on your playlist, or does it depend on the day?
I think it depends on the day, but mostly it has to be your house music, hip hop, and we're saying a bit of comb goes hard. So I like that as well. So it gets me going. So by the end of an hour, you don't even realize how much time you spent at the gym. So yeah.
And then, Fulu, in terms of so I'm sure you know. You have a plan, like, okay, maybe Tuesday's legs, mm-hmm. and then Wednesday is, I don't know, abs. If you don't want to do that thing, how do you motivate yourself to do that particular exercise? Because I can already tell that I'm going to hate legs. We have just the running that I did and the way my calves are feeling, I was walking like a newborn calf. When the time comes to do legs, I'm not going to be happy, you know? So what do you say to yourself?
I think another thing, it's also just seeing results. The more you see results,
okay,
the more you want to tackle that some more. Although it's not always easy to get yourself motivated. So sticking to that, knowing that Tuesday is legs, Wednesday it's shoulders, Thursday it's core. So it just... if you think about your workout program and what you would like to achieve, also the physique that you would also like to achieve. I know we always say body image is secondary, but let's face it, if you look good, you also feel good, you know. So also that is a factor to see the more you achieve results, the more you're looking good, the more you want to do it.
But it's also, there's a dark side to that, as Gareth explained
exactly.
earlier on, that say, for example, a person like me who's been chubby all their life, if I now start slimming down and tone and looking good and receiving more and more compliments, that could easily become dysfunctional. It could become a pathology where I'm now overdoing it just because I'm enjoying all the attention.
Yeah, and then you start to also forget about all the other significant areas in your life, like whatever your work is. So maybe that's what I wanted to ask Gareth as well, to say, where do you draw the line? Where is the balance to maybe just the listener who's listening to say, where do I realize that I think I'm going over the boundary?
Yeah, great question. The short answer is when you start getting feedback from people close to you, people who care deeply for you and have the concern to share with you that they are noticing what seems to them, at least, to be a dysfunctional behavioral pattern. That's probably the easiest way to answer quite a difficult question. You'll also notice, and you'll know this better than I, you'll notice drastic changes in your physique. You will at the same time notice drastic changes internally at an emotional level. You'll be uncomfortable with the world. You'll be obsessing about what you're eating, what you're looking like. You'll be starting to experience mood swings, emotional type feelings that you hadn't before, and that's all starting to signal that, hold on, something's out of kilter here. I'm not experiencing the highs that I used to. Because exercise, as we've all said, gives you a really cool feeling afterwards.
I had a bounce in my step. I've been feeling great.
Yeah, it's when you stop feeling great and then something's happening. And maybe it's not an addiction. That's what I'm saying. It's always that extreme. Maybe you're tired, you're burnt out, you're exhausted. It's really good to hear that you're taking 2 days off a week. When a lot of athletes, when I start working with them, I ask them to do what I call a WILO, which is a week in the life of them.
Yeah.
And some of these kids, for example, are exercising inordinately amounts of time. They're training twice a day and they're not switching off on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday perhaps, and you can see that it's that what is needed is a good break. Also something that was said earlier which got me thinking, that it was when you said you vary your week up, it's also helpful to vary your year up into let's say 5-10 week slots.
Okay.
The research indicates that athletes at elite level, at sub-elite level, you can't go it flat out for more than 10 weeks. Things just start conking in. Your body starts hurting too much. You start picking up injuries. Sure. You don't take care of yourself nutritionally and otherwise. What's helpful is to do perhaps like a preparation phase, a competition phase. So when you train for your marathon, a 10-week period or a 12-week period is where you really give it stick. Mm-hmm. But once you've done your marathon, then to have a 6 or 8 week period of post-competition where you still exercise, you still work out 5 times a week, but the intensity is different.
Okay.
That's right. And that's where you allow recovery. But you're not just allowing your body to recover. You're allowing your head to recover as well. So that when you go into your next phase, you psychologically and emotionally there just as much as you physically there. So I've found that to be helpful.
I want to remember that. That's important.
What I do with most of my athletes, just to hopefully be constructive for what you, I get them to take a picture of themselves.
Mm.
And they don't need to share it with the world, but of course some do. And to refer back to that, because it's a visual, and many people are visually oriented.
Yeah. Mm.
But at the same time, I also get them to complete an inventory where it's how they feel about themselves.
Mm.
And to use that just as much as a prompt, as a visual prompt. So it's not just that what you look like. It's how you feel, which I think is equally important.
Mm, great. So we're taking your calls on 086-000-0959 on Sidebar Cindy. I'm chatting to Gareth Rossley, a psychologist with a special interest in sport, and also to Fulufelo Sipuma. She's a trainer, and she does amazing things. I love her Instagram. I'm inspired. So, yeah, you can call us on 086-000-0959 if you have any questions for either of the two of them. So, Fulu, you were saying just before I interrupted you,
yeah, so I was saying, what you're saying, Gareth, is like we need to also take time just to focus on our mental health, to look out for the being mindful, also focusing on the mind aspect of things.
Yes, yes. So what you're saying is do some psychological preparation in your week, just as you would do physical preparation. Sorry, I was chatting off air with a sedentary athlete who was out of shape, didn't feel great, and we put together quite a drastic program of action, and I just got those notes out now while you were chatting. And what did we do? Well, we focused obviously on physical preparation. Mm. We set achievable goals, very clear on diet, social life, and what the implications would be for her family. Should she follow what she was wanting to do? A lot of positive messaging, so self affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
Both during exercise and when not exercising.
So stuff like, I can do this.
whatever works for you.
Oh, I have nothing at the moment.
And try some things out. Try some
colorful
things.
Yeah, no, and actually, yeah, the sneakers. Yeah, yeah, I can do this. I can get more sneakers.
Maybe every month, reward yourself with
I think every 3 months, because those things are expensive. I mean, the pink pair that I wanted was like 800 rand more expensive than the pair that I got. I just remember saying to her, how much, you know, because I love pink. Pink's my favorite color.
Yeah.
But I think if I do well, that pink pair is my motivation. Yeah, you're right, Gareth. I'll get the pink pair if I've done two walks.
And I've also found just varying up your program. Let's say you really don't feel like doing legs on a certain day, then go and experiment with doing legs, but doing different leg exercises by doing programs that you haven't done before, that which might not be as intense, but you're experimenting, you're working, you know, your body's your temple, and you're starting to find out what works for you. There are some principles and rules, and we are sharing those, and there's so much literature out there, and there's so much innovation at both a technical and physiological as well as at a mental level, and experiment, talk to people,
like Fulu does when she goes to the gym and she talks to other trainers.
That's right, and try things out, because you want to find something that's unique to you. It's not just about copying. Of course, you're going to have to start somewhere, and it's usually good to start with a program. Mm. But don't be scared to try something different out, and to get into that routine of reviewing how your week was and what you're going to do, both physically and mentally, in the coming week.
Okay, so we have Fifi on the line, 086-00-00-959. Hi, Fifi, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Cindy. I have a question actually for Garrett, because he touched on what my struggle has been.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you start seeing results and people are also noticing those results, it gets uncomfortable.
Mm. Uncomfortable? Okay.
It's something that I'm not used to, and I don't know. It's for me, like, I want to go back to being that person who's not noticed anymore. And what I would end up doing now, I'd end up sabotaging myself with regards to eating again, and then the whole cycle goes again. Like, it's like a vicious cycle. I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, I understand. But it's interesting, Fifi. So are you overweight? Are you medium? Are you small?
I've always been overweight, and I don't know how to put it. I don't have trouble losing weight, because once I put my mind to it, I'm able to do it. But the moment I start, or people start realizing, or people start noticing the difference, it's just so uncomfortable.
Okay, Fifi, we heard your question. We'll ask Gary to respond before we go for the break.
Yeah, hi, Fifi. It's you highlighting the complexity of what fitness, body change, self-image, and so on can carry with it. You transition your body and you start getting a whole lot of positive messaging, but at the same time you feel even worse inside. And so what's the way forward? You got to start understanding yourself and appreciating what you're all about psychologically, and what your psychological makeup is, and how that works for you and works against you. It's something that I can't answer in a short session.
So Fifi might have to go and see a counselor or a clinical psychologist just to talk about this.
Probably will help and make a constructive and positive contribution. But as a friend said to me this morning, you know, it's this whole journey of self-discovery is a journey. It's about finding things out about yourself, about appreciating those, loving them, and learning from them, and making whatever behavioral or other changes you need to. And I guess that's part of the joy, but also some of the difficulty when we try and make changes in adulthood. It's not easy.
Okay, so we'll be back on Type 1 Cindy after this.
Looking after your mind, body, and soul. Sidebar with Cindy.
Every Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. We have about 16 minutes of the show left, and Thuli will be coming up at 8 p.m. with My Money and Me. Good evening, Thuli, and what are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Dr. Cindy. Tonight is actually my final show, so I'm having a farewell show. Aww. It's going to be pretty much an open line. People are more than welcome to call in, reflect on the past 5 years, and I'll be doing the same. I have some guests as well who are quite regular on the show to help me do the reflection and just look back in terms of where my money and me has come from over the past 5 years. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's sad as well. It's never easy saying goodbye, but hey, it's you know, closing of one door is an opening of another.
Oh, Tuli. So we'll miss you. I'm going to miss you.
Yeah, I'll miss
you too. And I've always enjoyed listening to your show. I've learned a lot from your show. So that's Tuli Magubane doing her final show at 8 p.m. on Kaya FM.
Sidebar with Cindy.
On Kaya FM 95.9.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. The last part of today's Fitness Tuesday, discussing the psychology of fitness. I'm with Fulufelo Sipuma and with Gareth Rosli. And we're speaking about fitness and the things that can motivate you to get fit and what goes on in your mind as you get fit. We're taking your calls on 086-000-959. You can SMS us on 36959 and the hashtags in social media are Sidebar Cindy and Kaya FM Talk. And, you know, Fitness Tuesday has come about because I am working towards a goal, which is to walk the Kaya FM Legacy Walk, but also to start walking 5 kilometer walks and then maybe 5 kilometer runs and then maybe 10 kilometers and who knows, I might do a marathon. So I've decided to become healthier. And we'll see how it goes. So I need all the motivation I can get. As Gareth was mentioning earlier on, that you need as much support as you can. So the Afropolitans are my support. And at least I have a trainer, Danny Kamona. And so far, so good. So Fulu, coming back to you, in terms of you, I mean, you train people as well.
Yeah.
So how do you motivate your people to come through? And I'm specifically asking about ladies. I mean, say for example you're on your period and you really don't feel like training, what do you let them skip that day or should they come through anyway?
Training during your periods actually eases the pain. Like exercise works out as well to ease the pain during exercise, during the period. I think especially if you exercise prior to getting your periods, so you have an easier time doing that. So,
but what if someone is like really bloated and very uncomfortable on their first day? Could they skip that first day?
They could skip the first day. So, but then just prior, when you know that you're about to get your periods, just make sure that you are putting in exercise. Then it gets a bit easier and the pain lessens when the actual period time comes.
Okay, because that's I mean that's a reality.
Yeah, it's a reality for women.
We go through every month. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And how else do you motivate them? I mean, do they have their pictures on the wall? Do they, you know, what do you do for them?
There's a lot of challenges that I get to do with my fitness community and tribe. So I think just trying out a new challenge and making sure that you know how to do the challenge, I think motivates you a lot. And then also just them putting up notes to say, for affirmations, like you were saying, to say, I can actually do this. And then actually them trying out. I remember just in my fitness classes, we had squat challenges where ladies were competing with squats. So that gets them really motivated as well. And I also make sure that at my fitness master classes, I also have a lot of goodies as well. It's in prizes.
Likewise.
The last time we had some nice lipstick. We also had financial wellness advice coming through. So I had vouchers there, like investment vouchers coming through. So that also motivates them. So I think it's a reward system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that people can do, individuals can do as well, to say what do I like, how can I incorporate that into my workout to get me to work out. Just that reward system works very well.
Well, I'll be collecting sneakers, techies, and I'll be collecting medals and t-shirts. I think that's going to be my reward system for now. That's an easy thing for now.
Yeah, and another thing really is to also make sure that you switch up your workout routine, because things might get boring, then you get bored, you wonder why am I not feeling motivated. But if you switch up your work routine, if you're working your legs this week, you're squatting and then you get bored, so next week try something else. Try leg press, for example, and then just switch it up all the time to make sure that you're not getting bored and you're not hitting a plateau.
And swimming?
Swimming also works.
So
swimming
you
is also
swim?
Nice. Yeah, I do swim.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you recommend swimming?
I love the way it tones the shoulders. I think it's just also a very great stress reliever.
It's gentle on you too. You're not breaking down a lot of tissue or hurting yourself.
Like weights, yes.
Like weight training or road running does. That's why after marathons, and we were talking about the comrades earlier, the comrades, for example, the next day you will see a whole lot of people walking around Durban or Pietermaritzburg and limping, and the reason why is they've broke down a lot of tissue and really hurt themselves. It does. You do recover.
You're scaring me, Jared.
But, I think we'll be prepared for lots of stiffness on Monday mornings after Sunday run.
So you've run the comrades before.
I have, and it's a wonderful, wonderful day. As I said earlier, it's weird because you get there at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I wasn't particularly quick, and I thought like, I'm still going to be running in 10 hours' time. It's crazy.
Unimaginable. But
you just get through the first hour and you get through milestones.
I mean, 10 hours from here to Frankfurt. It's like a flight to Frankfurt.
That's how it is. But to your point and what you're trying to do, and for the listeners as well, is let's just take the comrades example. You start, but you've got milestones along the way, and it's really about just getting to Fields Hill, for example, or getting to where your family and friends might be meeting you, and then getting to halfway. And once you get to halfway, you know, I'm 50% there. And my self-talk was, okay, now I've only got 45% to go. I've got 40% to go.
Okay, so self-talk is important.
That's throughout, both during competition and out of competition.
So what also you tell yourself, the conversation you believe it.
Fulu, have you run the comrades?
No, I haven't. Like I said, I prefer weights than running. But you say something very important, and I think that's a topic for another day, to say how do people recover then, like recovery tips.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Guys?
Both physically and psychologically.
So psychologically, after Saturday's 5 kilometer walk, what am I going to be doing?
Then you can say, well, in a month's time, I'm going to be doing
something,
a 10 kilometer walk.
Yeah,
and that just makes it more palatable, makes it more manageable. Otherwise, you think, oh, I've got so much to do, and I'm not yet ready for it.
Mm.
Or maybe not even a 10K. Maybe I'm going to do 7.5Ks. Mm. It's make it work for you and what's manageable for you given your circumstances. The 10K runs will always be there.
Mm.
And if you do it a month later than expected, then it's okay. It's okay. You're learning. You're on a process and on a journey to better health and better fitness, and let it be yours.
Mm-hmm.
Co-create it. Take lots of help from experts. Not help, but support, input. Mm-hmm. And you can never do enough kind of research, reading,
finding
out.
I've been Googling a lot. I find that I'm always Googling about running and walking fitness. And this and that.
Some of it you'll find is complete rubbish, but through some of it you'll also take some wisdom.
Yeah.
And I have a friend who's the biggest Robin Sharma fan out, and whenever I chat to her and mention something, I'm having some difficulty this or that, she'll say Robin Sharma would say X, Y, and Z. So find your guru and
Fulu,
maybe use that.
What did Fulu do?
Yeah, so one should also make sure that they research from a reputable source.
Yeah, very important.
Yeah. And also, like what you said, I think, so break down your goals into smaller chunks to make sure that way you can be, you can make sure that you reach those goals. I think then it becomes psychologically easier as well to reach smaller goals than just putting one big goal that is
I must say, I mean, I think I'm excited about what's coming up. I mean, so it's a 5 kilometer walk on Saturday, then it's the Kai FM 6.7 kilometers, then it's the Itemba Walkathon, the Avon 1 5 kilometers, and we'll find something else to do before the end of the year. But we're pacing it, you know, and I think the person that's most excited about all of this is actually my husband. I don't think he expected me to be like this. I don't think he expected me to last this long.
Mm.
So I can tell he's very excited. Hopefully it translates into material gifts and so on. But I can see that he's very excited about it.
Yeah, your support system is vital. You live off it. It reinforces what you're trying to do. And it gives you a safe place to go when you're not feeling great. And when it is when you do go through those tough times, which are a normal, absolute normal part of the process. Mm. When my athletes say to me, "Oh, I'm having such a tough time," mm. you know, somewhere in the conversation or the session, I'd say to them, "Well, that's actually a positive sign. You've got to go through those difficulties. Mm. Mm. Otherwise, it's plain sailing. It's too easy." And so remember that when you're climbing up that hill and you're exhausted, that we said that it's a vital part of the process to suffer as you as you ascend those hills. So it's KZN hills in a year or two's time.
So you won't always feel so motivated.
No, it's normal to have your bad day. It's part of the process. And you know, who's this? I can't remember who the resilience writer is, but he talks about things not being permanent. Mm-hmm. It's temporary. So right now in my training program or this part of the year or this session or this race, it's not going well. But just stick with it and it will go well. Just get through the next 5 or 6 Ks or whatever it might be, and it will change, and it usually does.
No, that's great. I'm very motivated. So Fulu and Gareth, in closing, a nugget of wisdom from you, Fulu, and a nugget of wisdom from you, Gareth, before we close the show.
The title of my book is The Top 2 Inches, you know, off-field strategies for on-field performance.
And I'll be posting a picture of the book so you guys can know what to look for.
And I think my pearl, my wisdom out of that is it's what happens off the field. Mm. As our soccer player was saying earlier, it's the preparation, the planning, and the work that happens at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, in your case, when nobody's watching.
Yeah.
That's where it actually happens. You cannot pitch up at a race without being prepared, or at a game without having gone through a whole lot of processes. So work the off the field stuff, and the on field stuff will usually and will translate into better results.
Well, thank you for the book. I'm telling you, 2 years time I'll be running the Comrades. And Fulu, your word of wisdom for us?
My word today is just be disciplined. So you all won't always feel motivated, but just stay disciplined and consistent, and the results will come.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Fulu Felusipuma. Thank you so much, Gareth Rosli, for being on the show. I'll make sure that we get your details out. We'll post on social media. And thank you for my book. I look forward to reading it. I look forward to my race on Saturday. I'll be back tomorrow evening on Sidebar with Cindy at 7 p.m.
Sidebar with Cindy
on Kaya FM 95.9.
11 official languages, 9 provinces. Celebrate your heritage.
Kaya FM.
Kaya FM.
Home of the Afropolitan.
Rewinding
Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
Visit kayafm.co.za for more.